Thank you for stopping by Living Waters World Online, the place where the river of God flows. Senior pastors Lawrence and Kimberly Richardson welcome you and would like to invite you to go on a journey of changing the church, challenging the colleges, and charging into the community. The following message is from the series, The God of the Bible. Today's message is entitled, We the People of This Nation Under God.
Numbers, I'm sorry if you're back there looking at Numbers and Exodus, you're in the wrong side of the Bible. Go to the other side. All right, and you'll come up with Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Stay with me, Malachi. You with me. Stay with me. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 4, and then we'll go 1 through 8 through 17. If ye who were raised with Christ seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God, set your minds on things which are above, not on things on earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. What a good word. It says, who Christ, who is our life, appears, you shall also appear with him in glory. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. It says, you were raised with Christ. Seek those things which are above. Skip down to verse number 8. All right. It says, but now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man and his deeds have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge according to him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, that kills all the argument about who are the elect of God. He's talking about us. It says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has complaint against another, even as Christ forgave, so must you do. But above all these, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called into one body. Here it is, and I wanted to hang out there today, but I'm not. It says, be thankful. Somebody say real loud with me, be thankful. All right. It says, then let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whether you are in word or in deed, do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here it is again, giving thanks to God the Father through him. For a few moments today, I want to talk about we the people. For a few moments today, I want to talk from subject matter, we the people, and you have to understand where I was last week. I talk about one nation under God, all right? So today, I want to talk about we the people that are the one nation under God. We the people. Father, we thank you for the word that you sowed in my heart to minister. For these next few moments, God, give me articulation to speak, God. Let me say what you have said. Let me declare your truth, that it will become present truth. But most importantly, lived, amen, applicable principles. God, thank you for changing our lives, for making us new creations in Christ. Thank you for embracing the love of God. And now, Father, show us how to walk by faith and not by sight. Speak, Lord. Speak with clarity. Speak with, oh God, a clear word, God. And as we hear it, let us not be hearers only, but let us be doers of your word. We thank you. We glorify your name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Somebody say with me real loud, we the people. If there is going to be one nation under God, for a few moments, I want to talk about the characteristics, the makeup, what these that are described as a nation under God, how they ought to live. All right. So give me a few moments and I won't take too long, but I want us to understand that we really do want to be the nation that calls God the Lord. And now he calls us his people. We the people. Psalms 33 and verse 10, it says the Lord brings to counsel. The Lord brings the counsel of nations to nothing. He makes the plans. He makes the plans of the people of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his hearts are to all generation. Here it is. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. If God is going to be our Lord, then one of the things that we really need to understand moving forward is, what is his requirement for us being his people? First, 2 Corinthians 5 says, now therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if we're going to be the people, listen to what Corinthians says. If anyone in Christ, he is a new creation. Somebody say it to me real loud, new creation. All right, say it for me just a little bit loud. Say, I am a new creation. If we're going to be we the people, one of the first things that we got to clearly understand is that we are a new creation. We ain't like them. There is a difference. And I know that might offend somebody, but the truth of the matter is the people of God are not like any other people on the earth. Get comfortable. Say, we are not like them. All right. It says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, things have become new. And now all things are of God, who have reconciled us to himself through Christ. And that's what makes us different. We've been reconciled to God through Christ and have now given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed the word of reconciliation to us. If we're going to be the people, the first thing that we have to understand very clearly is that we are a new creation. Old things have passed away, and now all things have become new. As racial tensions begin to rise all over this United States and all over the world, one of the things that we must understand is that that ain't our fight. We are the one new man of Ephesians chapter number 2. We're not promoting blackness, whiteness, any other ethnic makeup. What we're promoting is, have you been reconciled to God? And if you've been reconciled to my God, whether you're Greek, whether you're Jew, whether you're male, whether you're female, whether you're boy, whether you're girl, then now we are brothers and sisters. If you have been reconciled to God, and more churches need to be preaching the kind of message I'm preaching now, if you've been reconciled to God, American nationalism is not what we promote. We promote Christian ethics and loving your neighbor as yourself, blessing your enemies, blessing those that despitefully use you. So as we move forward with all that is going on, we've got to understand as the Christian body, as we the people, we different from everybody else. We've received grace through faith. We've been brought near by the blood. Christ is our peace. Christ is our cornerstone. Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. If you're in any other fight besides the fight of faith, you're wasting your energy. You're wasting your time. Our fight is a fight of faith, that grace through faith others might be brought near to the blood of Christ, that Christ may become their peace and Christ would become their cornerstone. You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. God's own special people that are proclaiming the praises of him that brought you out of darkness into the marvelous light, who were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Come on, somebody say me real loud. We are the people of God. At this hour, don't let that go. We are the people of God. We had not obtained mercy, but now we have obtained mercy. We are the one nation under God. We the people. We are the one nation unto God. I wish I had a little bit more time. Put it in your notes. Numbers chapter 23, verse 20 through 21. In Numbers chapter 23 through 25, he says of this one nation that is under God, that I'm going to bless you so much that any curse against you won't work. He said, when you become this one nation under God, read it in when you get time, because it's very profound. Numbers 23, verse 25. He says, when you become my people, I'm going to bless you so abundantly that no curse against you will work. And regardless of what you go through, you'll keep rising up. Because you are one nation under God. Do me a favor, tell somebody, say, neighbor, you're going to keep rising up. You're going to keep rising up. Come on, tell one of the neighbors, say, neighbor, you're going to keep rising up. And I'm almost done. Please give me about 5 more minutes, and I promise you I'm almost done. But I do need to tell somebody else, you're going to keep rising up. You're going to keep rising up. So as Apostle Paul begins to write this letter to the church at Colossae, this is what he's trying to convey to them, that you're going to keep rising up. He had to let them know that you're dealing with some people that want to take you back to some ceremonial laws. And there are some dangers of mixing Gentile philosophy with Christian principles. And those are key points if we're going to be the people. You've got to be aware of what's trying to carry you back. And you've got to be knowledgeable of what's trying to mix you up. I need to say that again because Sheldon, when Apostle Paul is writing, there are two main concerns on his heart. There are Jews that's trying to take the Christian back into Judaism. And it might not be Judaism that people are trying to take us back into, but every now and then during holiday season and meeting with people and hanging out with people, somebody trying to take you back somewhere you know you have left. Paul warns them that don't let anything take you back to ceremonial laws that Christ have freed you from. And then the next thing he began to warn them is that there are going to be those that try to mix up philosophies. And they were called Gentile philosophies. And they're going to try to mix them with Christian faith. And out of that, they're going to try to call that the one new man. In the hour that we're living, we've got to understand, I can't be mixed up with that. And I can't mix the gospel of thou shalt not with the gospel of do whatsoever thou wilt. I've got to keep clean hands and a pure heart. I cannot lift up my soul into vanity. So Apostle Paul begins to warn them, don't let anything take you back. And there was Jewish zealots really trying to take them back into Judaism. And he said, but then also there's those that's trying to mix you up. Don't let anything take you back. Don't let anything mix you up. Come on, help me with me. Talk to them. He said, don't let anything take you back. Don't let anything mix you up. Come on, say it again. Don't let anything take you back. And don't let anything mix you up. He wanted them to continue with steadfastness. Consistency. He wanted them to persevere. If there's anything that I have for desire for the church today, and I'm talking about the ecclesia, the whole body of Christ, is that we be steadfast, that we be consistent, and that we persevere. In the hour that we live, we need to be steadfast. I'll let nothing separate me from the love of God. We've got to be consistent. I said it, God gonna do it, and I will not take it back. And we've got to persevere, for the race is not given to the swift nor to the strong, but that him to endure to the end. Three things that I'm praying for the church. And Paul was telling the church at Colossae, he said, I want you to be steadfast, I want you to be consistent, and I want you to persevere. Those of you under the sound of my voice, I want you to be steadfast. I want you to be consistent. If you say God gonna heal you, stand on God healing you. If you say God gonna bring you out, stand on God bringing you out. If you standing on God is gonna do a great work in your life, then don't let a little bit of a delay cause you to now deny what you confessed in another season. Somebody said when we real loud, I will be consistent in my confessions. If you said God gonna bless you, then you stand on God gonna bless you. If you say I'm gonna keep my mind stayed on the Lord, then keep your mind stayed on the Lord. And you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. So Apostle Paul, talking to the church at Colossae, he's encouraging them to be persistent, to be consistent, and to be steadfast. And then he begins to tell them what it's going to take to be we the people. And he opens up the letter saying, to the saints and the faithful brethren in Christ who are at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God our Father, Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, of your love for the saints, because of the hope which is laid up in you in heaven, of which you've heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you and also into the world and is bringing forth fruit. It is also among you since the first day heard that you knew of the grace of God in truth. You also learn from Ephraeus, our dearly beloved, excuse me if I pronounced that wrong, servant, and who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. Why is that important? Paul is practicing strengthening the entire body. Most theologians said he did not plant this church. Another dear brother planted. But he wrote them a letter because he wanted them to understand, I want everybody strengthened. I want everybody steadfast. I want everybody consistent. I want everybody persevering. If there is one message that should be coming from all of our Christianity, is that we want everybody strengthened. We want everybody steadfast. We want everybody consistent. Do you name the name of Christ? If you say yes, then I should want you strengthened. Do you love God with all of your heart? Then I should want you steadfast. Are you living for God and dying for God? And if that's the case, we need to eliminate our divisions and what separate us and desire only to build one another up. All of us, that we are the people. Do you agree with that? One of the things that I've consistently heard God say over the last 2 years, strengthen what remains. Strengthen what remains. If you're still naming the name of Christ, my responsibility is to strengthen you. Don't let you quit. Don't let you give up. I pray that we would take that upon all of us, because we've got coworkers that need to be strengthened. We've got family members that's barely holding on. Y'all ain't hear what I said. I know what I'm talking about. We got family members that's barely holding on. Those that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. Do me a favor. Talk to your neighbor. Say, neighbor. Oh, neighbor. I am here to strengthen you. Somebody say, thank you. You can get rid of doxology, man. There are three things that we must understand if we're going to be we the people. The first thing that we must understand is found in Colossians 3, verse 1 through 4. We greet all with grace, thanksgiving, and willingly offering prevailing prayers. Say that again, and it should be on the PowerPoint behind me. Point number one, if we're going to be we the people that are one nation under God, Colossians 3, verse 1 through 4 says, we greet all with grace, thanksgiving, and willingly offering prevailing prayers. And God told me to make sure I tell you this. People are going through way more than what we perceive when we first meet. I need to say that again. People are going through way more than what we perceive when we meet them. And do you know what will disarm them? Greeting them with grace. I'm going to be honest with you. I ain't going to tell you a whole lot going on with me when you barely want to say hello to me. I really money ain't going to tell you what's going on with me when I see you rolling your eyes at me. Y'all ain't hearing me. And we in the body, we got to change up a little. We got to learn how to meet people with grace. Are you going with me, PowerPoint? We've got to meet people with grace. And then the next thing we got to greet them with, let's show them that we are thankful people. I've been intentional over the last few days. When people tell me all that's wrong, I start telling them, but you can be thankful for this. Because I'm thankful of that. Let me tell you how it is that people want to peek into your life, because they always see that you're thankful. You always got a smile on your face. But God is good. So we greet people with thankfulness. We greet people with grace. And then the third thing we greet for them, and I got a little thing that I'm making up. I promise you guys, Montague Media Ministry and I, we're working together. I got a little flyer, 3x5 card that's going to have Living Waters information, the four quadrants that we go after. But then also on the back of the card, I'm going to have them, do you like to meet Christ? But number two is what I'm going to talk about here. I invite you to a moment of prayer. We got to now start asking folks, is there anything I can pray for? And I should have got more amens there. I told you earlier, people are going through so much. One of the sisters of the bereaved brother at the funeral that I was, she grabbed me by the hand at the funeral and she said, I want to talk to you, Pastor Lawrence. This is what she told me, and my heart dropped. She said, I think my brother knew he was going to die and he didn't tell any of us. And she said, I wish he'd have told us. Why am I telling you this point? Who have we met that they know they're close to death? And we didn't offer prevailing prayers. Are you still with me? We meet people with grace. Hello, how are you doing? And then we meet people with thanksgiving. Man, God is good. The sun is up today. Man, it ain't snowing yet. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm so thankful. I don't want no snow. I can't stand snow. Well, let me tell y'all what really bothers me. The shoveling. That's what bothers me. And then people that don't know how to drive. You can't drive 100 when it's snowing. You ain't even got no snow threads on there. Your car is too light to be driving that fast. You're going to hit me. Thankful that it's not snowing. But then here's the big one that I want us to understand. We got to now greet people at telling them that I am a believer in prayer. You got anything I can pray for? Do me a favor, practice real quick. Say, do you have anything I can pray for? Points 2 and 3. Oh, tell them. You can go ahead and tell them. Yeah, pray for this. Pray for that. Go ahead and tell them. I gave you the moment. All right, we meet people with grace because we are the people. We meet people with thanksgiving because we are the people of the nation under God. And then we meet them offering them prevailing prayers. Can you do me a favor? Find 5 people this week and pray for them. You guys' prayers do prevail, right? I ain't doing all this stuff. It don't work. I was up this morning probably around 3 or 4, and God said, Lawrence, this next month, when you get ready to do what you get ready to do, I need you to be a little bit more specific about what you want me to do. And so I wrote 5 specific things that I want God to do. Come on, tell your neighbor, with God, you can be specific. I got some relationships I want him to restore. I was asking him for long life for my parents, Clarence and Joyce and Gloria. Do y'all not know we can pray people in the living, as Hezekiah? And I'm sorry, I don't want my parents to go nowhere right now. So I was up praying, God, what do you really want? I want my parents to experience long life, and I want them to be in the health. And then I began to start praying for my sons and daughters. God, I want them to rise up and do the work of the ministry. I want them to be sold out. And then I began to pray for the communities, that our prayers would be answered, hearts would be changed, and our communities would be revived. Come on, tell your neighbor, in this season when you pray, be specific. And he will answer them. Number 1, we greet all with grace, and I got to get finished now. My time is about up. We got to greet people with thanksgiving. We got to willingly offering prevailing prayers. And if you read the text, this is what Paul does when he comes to the church at Colossae. He meets them with grace, thanksgiving, and willingly offering them prayers. He says, since I've heard mention of you, I'm praying for you.
You've just heard a message on Living Waters World Online. If you were blessed by this message, or you know someone who will be blessed by this message, please click the link below for more information on how to order the full-length message. We hope you are encouraged to live the victorious life. And remember, this is the place where the river of God flows.